Hello, this is Janice Schweizer with the Pantograph for Tuesday, May 26, 2020. We will begin today with the headline article, McLean County Adds 6 Cases. Total, now 210 with 10 deaths, 3 people die in LaSalle County, by Kelsey Watznauer. 6 more McLean County residents have tested positive for COVID-19, bringing the total to 210 cases. McLean County Health Department announced Monday 2 women and 4 men are the latest patients. Overall, 10 people have died from the virus in McLean County. 128 have recovered, 6 are hospitalized, and 66 are in home isolation, officials said. None of the new cases were related to the Bloomington Rehabilitation and Health Center, where 7 of the 10 McLean County deaths were residents. 3 additional deaths were reported in LaSalle County. 2 men in their 60s and 1 woman in her 90s bring the total to 13 deaths related to the virus and 140 total cases. Statewide, the Illinois Department of Public Health reported 1,713 new cases and 31 more deaths. As of Monday, Illinois has 112,017 cases, including 4,884 deaths in 100 counties. Officials said that 769,564 people have been tested. The COVID-19 testing site in Bloomington was closed Monday for the Memorial Day holiday. 45 people were tested Sunday, the lowest single-day total since the site opened on March 28th. The site at 1106 Interstate Drive reopens Tuesday with regular hours 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It is now operated by Pekin-based Reditis Laboratories and uses a self-swab test. Each person undergoing testing will be instructed and monitored by an on-site staff member. Testing is not limited to McLean County residents, and there is no limit on the number of tests performed daily. Insurance information will be collected, but those without insurance may still be tested free of charge. Anyone able to complete the test without assistance can be tested. No new cases were reported in LaSalle, Logan, Tazewell, and Woodford counties. Next, we have an article entitled, Never Forget. Pandemic shapes observances of service and sacrifice. This is through the Associated Press. Americans settled for small processions and online tributes instead of parades Monday as they observed Memorial Day in the shadow of the pandemic, which forced communities to honor the nation's military dead with modest, more subdued ceremonies that also remembered those lost to the coronavirus. On the weekend that marked the unofficial start of summer, authorities warned people heading to beaches, parks, or backyard barbecues to heed social distancing rules to avoid a resurgence of the disease that has infected 5.4 million people worldwide and killed over 345,000, including nearly 100,000 Americans, according to a tally by Johns Hopkins University. President Donald Trump and presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden each observed Memorial Day in their own way. Trump honored America's war dead Monday in back-to-back Memorial Day appearances, colored by an epic struggle off the battlefield against the coronavirus. Eager to demonstrate national revival from the pandemic, Trump doubled up on his Memorial Day public schedule. Trump first honored the nation's fallen at Arlington National Cemetery. Presidents on Memorial Day typically lay a wreath and speak at the hallowed burial ground in Virginia. But the coronavirus crisis made this year different. Many attendees arrived wearing masks but removed them for the outdoor ceremony in front of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Trump, maskless as always in public, gave no remarks. He approached a wreath already in place, touched it, and saluted. Then Trump traveled to Baltimore's historic Fort McHenry, where he declared, Together we will vanquish the virus and America will rise from this crisis to new and even greater heights. No obstacle, no challenge, and no threat is a match for the sheer determination of the American people. Biden made his first in-person appearance in more than 2 months on Monday by laying a wreath at a veterans park near his Delaware home. Since abruptly canceling a March 10th rally in Cleveland at the onset of the coronavirus pandemic, Biden has waged much of his campaign from his home in Wilmington. When Biden emerged on Monday, he wore a face mask, in contrast to Trump. Biden and his wife Jill laid a wreath of white flowers tied with a white bow and bowed their heads in silence at the park. He saluted. "Never forget the sacrifices that these men and women made," he said after. "Never, ever forget." "I feel great to be out here," Biden told reporters, his words muffled through his black cloth mask. His visit to the park was unannounced and there was no crowd waiting for him. Memorial Day commemorations were canceled or toned down across the country. Veterans, along with nursing home residents, have made up a significant portion of those who died in the U.S. outbreak. The day looked different across the United States. The 37,000 American flags, traditionally placed on the Boston Common to honor Massachusetts military members who died in service, were replaced with just 1,000 flags to limit volunteers and onlookers. In Minneapolis, several bagpipers and drummers lined up outside the Minnesota Veterans Home and played as a parade of cars drove past. The city of Woodstock, Georgia, held its ceremony online. American Legion Post 316 Commander Julian Windham recognized service members who helped in the global fight against COVID-19. "Even when the enemy is an invisible virus or a microscopic germ, the sacrifices made are just as meaningful," Windham said. The ceremony, which included readings, vocal performances, and gunshots from a ceremonial rifle team, were filmed over a series of days last week and edited together, Windham said. In Chicago, a neighborhood group that's been holding a parade for more than half a century also moved its event online, with video clips from previous years and messages from special guests, including veterans and Mayor Lori Lightfoot. In the suburb of Lisle, a convoy of vehicles from fire departments and VFW posts drove silently through village streets. Fallen military members were honored in New York City with car convoys and small ceremonies. "It's something we're upset about, but we understand," said Raymond Albu, chairman of the United Military Veterans of Kings County, which usually puts on a parade in Brooklyn. "There's no reason to put anybody in harm's way," he said, adding, "It's really cutting quick to the heart of all the veterans." On Long Island, a small group of veterans saluted, wearing masks and spaced several feet apart, as a parade of cars passed beneath a large American flag. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo joined a private ceremony at the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum in Manhattan, with both the sacrifices of military members and the challenge of the coronavirus on his mind. "Over 100,000 Americans will lose their lives to this COVID virus. How do we honor them? We honor them by growing stronger together," he said. "We want to make sure we remember them and thank our heroes today." Also on the front page is the article entitled, "Council Set to Vote on Outdoor Dining Rules." This is by Maria Nagel. With the City Council's approval on Tuesday, temporary outdoor business operations and street closures to accommodate social distancing guidelines could start in Bloomington next week. The council is slated to act on amending the city's emergency declaration ordinance to allow City Manager Tim Gleason to temporarily close streets for outside use by businesses in a safe manner and allows for outside extension of premises, outdoor seating, and things of that nature. "And we're really excited to see what that looks like," said City Communications Manager Nora Dukowitz. The council will meet online at 6 p.m. Tuesday. The meeting date was changed because of the Memorial Day holiday. The amendment is consistent with Governor J.B. Pritzker's announcement Wednesday, adding outdoor dining at restaurants and bars to the list of allowed activities as the state's four regions are on pace to move into Phase 3 of the five-phase Restore Illinois reopening plan on May 29th. In Phase 3, tables outdoors will have to be 6 feet apart and away from the sidewalks. Masks also will be required for staff. Indoor dining will not be permitted until the state's reopening plan reaches Phase 4, possibly months away. Basically, what I have pushed for, that I am supporting, would be to allow every bar or restaurant in town to use part of their parking lots for outdoor seating, and also for places that don't have their own parking lot, to allow them to submit a plan to the city clerk's office to use some of the parking spaces that are around their location, said Ward 1 Alderman Jamie Matthey, who owns Red Raccoon Games in downtown Bloomington. The only way to make that work in downtown is to close one lane of Main, one lane of Center, and maybe even close one lane of Front Street in order to give bars and restaurants enough space to have a decent seating area and people would be able to maintain their social distancing, said Matthey. Dukowitz said city officials are still deciding on outside service hours. A public hearing about how to spend federal funding to help combat the impact of COVID-19 is also slated for the meeting. There is a total of $420,000 being proposed to address COVID-19-related needs. The amount includes $329,000 the city received through the Federal Corona Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, or CARES, Act, and $90,000 that is being carried forward from the city's 2019 Community Development Block Grant Action Plan, said City Grants Coordinator Jennifer Toney. City staff is recommending $270,000 be used to address housing, food insecurity, medical needs, and child care, both in direct assistance and possibly program administration. Another $150,000 is being recommended to support economic development activities, such as business, financial support, technical assistance and job training, among other possibilities. Food, rent, and utilities, and health care or mental health were the top concerns identified in a survey distributed in early April to over 70 local service providers, asking them about what their clients need. Public comments can be submitted to the city until June 1st. The council is slated to vote on a final plan June 8th. In other action, the council will consider awarding to Hoar Construction of Goodfield a $1.85 million contract to clean and inspect using closed caption television equipment 189 miles of the city's 335 miles of sanitary and combined sewers. The company's bid was the lowest of four submitted. Awarding $685,000 in annual John M. Scott healthcare grants through funding from the John M. Scott Foundation. The amount includes $60,000 in COVID-19-related assistance to local organizations. Amending the city code to prohibit local sales of tobacco products, electronic cigarettes, and alternative nicotine products to anyone under the age of 21. Approving $55,000 settlement with Lisa Gilmore, who was arrested after fraudulent checks were presented and cashed by someone purported to be her at a local currency exchange in October 2019. Authorities later learned that she was a victim of identity theft. Awarding to Stark Excavation a $57,000 contract to construct the Wittenberg Woods Park Trail, and purchasing a $35,000 2020 Ford Transit van for use by the Bloomington Police Department's SWAT team and two 2020 Ford Ranger pickup trucks at $26,000 per vehicle for use by the Community Development Department. Next, we have Red Cross and Pantograph schedule blood drive. The American Red Cross and the Pantograph are teaming up for the 21st annual Friends and Family Blood Drive. The drive will be noon to 6 p.m. June 9th and 10th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center at 201 Broadway Avenue in Normal. The annual drive usually collects more than 100 donations. The Red Cross has been serving the Bloomington community for over 100 years. We are so grateful for the support of the community and for those who roll up a sleeve on June 9th and 10th to help give the gift of life, said Lynn Hruska, Regional Executive for the American Red Cross, Illinois Region. There's no better way to start the summer than by helping the Red Cross maintain a sufficient blood supply. All presenting blood donors will receive a Red Cross We Are All in This Together face mask and $5 in MoBucks from Moe's Southwest Grill while supplies last. Donors who donate from June 1st to the 30th will also receive a $5 Amazon gift card via email. All donors are required to wear a face covering or mask. Blood donors of all types are needed. Those with types O, A negative and B negative blood are encouraged to make a power red donation, which is a concentrated dose of red blood cells during a single donation. To donate, download the Red Cross donor app, visit redcrossblood.org, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. A blood donor card or driver's license or two other forms of identification are required at check-in. Donors must be at least 17, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in generally good health. You can complete pre-donation reading and health history questionnaire at redcrossblood.org/rapidpass. This is an article entitled Social Security, written by Elaine Popejoy, the Social Security District Manager for Bloomington. On Memorial Day, our nation honored military service members who have given their lives for our country. Families, friends, and communities paused to remember the many great sacrifices of our military and ensure their legacy lives on in the freedoms we all enjoy. We recognize these heroes who, in President Lincoln's words, gave the last full measure of devotion. The benefits we provide can help the families of military service members. For example, widows, widowers, and their dependent children may be eligible for Social Security Survivor's Benefits. You can learn more about those benefits at www.ssa.gov/survivors. We also offer support to our wounded warriors. Social Security benefits protect veterans when an injury prevents them from returning to active duty or performing other work. Wounded military service members can receive expedited processing of their Social Security disability claims. Are you a veteran with 100% permanent and total compensation rating from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs? We will expedite your disability claim. Both the Department of Veterans Affairs and the Social Security Administration have disability programs. You may qualify for disability benefits through one program but not the other, or you may qualify for both. Depending on your situation, some of your family members, including your dependent children or spouse, may be eligible to receive Social Security benefits. Do you want more information? Visit www.ssa.gov/woundedwarriors for answers to commonly asked questions or to find information about the application process. Are you thinking about retirement? Military service members can receive Social Security benefits in addition to their military retirement benefits. For details, read the military service page of our retirement planner, also available at www.ssa.gov/planners/retire/veterans.html. Please share this information with the military families in your community. To the veterans who bravely served and died for our country, and to the military service members who are serving today, we honor and thank you. Next, we have an article entitled, Poll, Many Prefer to Stay In. Americans' Hesitancy May Curb Recovery from Swiftest Downturn Ever. This is by Josh Boak and Emily Swanson with the Associated Press. Much of the country remains unlikely to venture out to bars, restaurants, theaters, or gyms anytime soon, despite state and local officials across the country increasingly allowing businesses to reopen, according to a new survey by the Associated Press-NORC Center for Public Affairs Research. The hesitancy in the wake of the coronavirus outbreak could muffle any recovery from what has been the sharpest and swiftest economic downturn in U.S. history. Just 42% of those who went to concerts, movies, theaters, or sporting events at least monthly before the outbreak said they'd do so in the next few weeks if they could. Only about half of those who regularly went to restaurants, exercised at the gym, or traveled would feel comfortable doing so again. About one quarter of Americans say someone in their household has lost a job amid that downturn, and about half have lost household income, including layoffs, pay cuts, cut hours, or unpaid time off. The majority of those whose households suffered a layoff still believe they will return to their previous employer, but the share expecting their job will not return has risen slightly over the past month from 30% to 30% from 20%. The speed and strength of any economic rebound could be thwarted because many fear the risk of new infections. Consumers make up roughly 70% of the U.S. economic activity, so anything less than a total recovery in spending would force many companies to permanently close and deepen the financial pain for 39 million people who have lost their jobs in roughly the past 2 months. 49% of Americans approve of how President Donald Trump is handling the economy, the poll shows. That has slipped over the last 2 months from 56% in March. Still, the issue remains a relative positive for Trump, whose overall approval rating stands at 41%. Here are some brief notes around the United States and the world. In Missouri, the state's health director issued a dire warning Monday after photos and videos showed Memorial Day weekend revelers partying close together. The coronavirus is still here, and the spreading of illnesses could have long-lasting and tragic results, he said. In Minnesota, religious leaders will soon be free to open their doors to worshipers once again with some precautions due to the coronavirus, but many believe it's too soon to resume services. Governor Tim Walz is allowing places of worship to reopen at 25% capacity on Wednesday. In South Carolina, traffic is down significantly since the coronavirus pandemic began, cutting the amount of money the state road agency takes in by $78 million. In Florida, total coronavirus cases neared 52,000 on Monday, with 2,252 deaths as many residents took advantage of the relaxed restrictions during the Memorial Day weekend. Numbers released on Monday by the Florida Department of Health show 879 new cases since a day earlier, along with 15 new deaths. Texas health officials reported 623 new cases of COVID-19 on Monday and said there have been another 8 deaths linked to the disease. The state had 55,971 confirmed cases, and there have been 1,527 fatalities related to the virus, according to the Texas Department of State Health Services. In Asia, South Koreans will be required to wear masks when using public transportation and taxis starting on Tuesday as authorities look for more ways to slow the spread of the coronavirus as people increase public activities. In France, employees of a major group of French nursing homes on Monday took part in protests across France to call for better pay amid the coronavirus crisis. In Britain, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson's plans to announce further lockdown easing measures were overshadowed Monday by an outcry over a senior aide, Dominic Cummings, who drove 250 miles from his London home to his parents' house in Durham, northeast England, while he was infected with the virus. In Greece, they restarted a regular ferry service to its islands on Monday, and cafes and restaurants were also back open for business as this country accelerated efforts to salvage its tourism season. And in Germany, federal government and state governors squared up Monday for a battle over plans to end restrictions despite fresh clusters of cases across that country. Here are some more local briefs. A man was shot early Sunday after a fight broke out in South Bloomington. About 5:40 a.m., officers were called to the 1900 block of Tracy Drive for a report of shots fired. A 25-year-old man was found with a gunshot wound in one of the apartment buildings where a fight had occurred, according to police. The man was taken to a local hospital with injuries that did not appear to be life-threatening. No suspects have been identified and no other injuries were reported. This shooting remains under investigation by the Bloomington Police Department. Anyone with information related to the gunfire is asked to contact Detective Brad Melton at 309-434-2537 or at his website bmelton@cityblm.org. To remain anonymous, call McLean County Crime Stoppers at 309-828-1111. In Ellsworth, a quick storm passed through parts of McLean County, pulling debris onto roadways Monday afternoon and beginning a week with storms in the forecast. Ellsworth Fire Department was called to the Ellsworth Blacktop area where high-speed winds blew parts of the roof from a nearby barn onto State Illinois 9. Gusts up to 45 miles per hour blew through the area, according to the National Weather Service in Lincoln. No tornadoes were seen in the area. The McLean County Museum of History has received an award of excellence for the Extending Excellence campaign from the American Association for State and Local History. The AASLH Leadership in History Awards are the most prestigious recognition for achievement in the preservation and interpretation of state and local history. The Bloomington Rotary Club has donated $800 to the Midwest Food Bank to purchase 2 hogs to help feed the hungry. The request from the food bank for donations to help local farmers process excess hogs was a good fit for the club, which annually holds a pork chop lunch as its only fundraiser. This year's pork chop lunch is postponed. And in Normal, Midwest Food Bank has received a $10,000 donation from Liberty Mutual and Safeco Insurance. The local food bank was nominated for the donation by Mary Kearns of Mountain State Agency Alliance as part of an emergency community support grant to help independent agents give back to their local communities during the COVID-19 crisis. Midwest Food Bank will use the grant to bring additional tractor-trailer loads of food and equipment needed to distribute food into West Virginia communities impacted by COVID-19. The grant will also fund buying bulk food to distribute to 20 nearby organizations that include local church food banks, recovery centers, soup kitchens, and homeless care centers. This concludes the first part of the Pantograph reading for Tuesday, May 26, 2020. I'm Janice Schweizer, and I will return shortly with part 2.